stars, look at the stars. It's a lovely day out today.
It's light out, though. Can't see the stars.
Bugs Bunny said it. There's like an episode where there's this big red hairy monster and he like dresses up as like a hairdresser and he's like filing its nails. Like, my stars, look at the stars.
I remember that one.
I love Bugs Bunny. I used to pretend I was him because I had big ears and big front teeth growing up. So I'd walk around chewing carrots going, what's up, Doc? Had a Bugs Bunny pillow. And
did you like any cartoons, Cam?
Let's see. What was my favorite cartoon growing up?
Well, it didn't happen back then.
I really liked the Flintstones and the Jetsons.
Oh, yeah.
Which is two completely, because one's at the beginning of time and the other one's futuristic.
I need to rewatch the Flintstones movie, the one with Halle Berry and John Goodman. Mm-hmm. That was, I remember
liking
that.
It's a good movie,
And Rosie's in it.
Did you know that Scooby-Doo was at one point the longest running animated cartoon?
I'm not surprised.
But then the Jetsons beat it. Hmm.
I don't even know that you can watch those old ones like that anymore.
Mr. Jetson. Rosie, she's my favorite. Mm-hmm. But the Jetsons.
I like the way their vehicles sounded.
Wasn't it supposed to be like the year 2000 when that took place?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
They really watched it a lot. Jumped the gun on. They thought we'd be a lot better.
Right.
Here we are in a financial living crisis and the world's burning. If only.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's funny. I also learned that Scooby-Doo, because I loved watching Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I love Scooby too.
I also learned that Scooby-Doo was the first, at least animated cartoon, but it might have even been the first show on TV, but I know at least it was the first animated to use the automated laughter.
Oh, okay. Huh. Yeah, I know a lot of the laughter we hear on shows now was recorded in like the 50s. So all the laughter you hear on a lot of shows that's automated is of dead people.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
And it would have been first used on Scooby-Doo.
How about that?
Yeah. Hmm.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Jinkies.
And they also introduced Scrappy to Scooby-Doo.
I never liked him.
No one did. They introduced him when Scooby-Doo's ratings.
I liked Scrappy.
You would.
He was cute.
When Scooby-Doo's ratings were going down, they thought, well, we'll introduce Scrappy as like a, you know, another character, another main character.
No one wanted him.
But people didn't like him. Mm-hmm. They were like, we don't like him. And Scrappy was supposed to be Scooby-Doo's sister's son.
Yeah.
But people
you see
were.
His sister, like you see, he has like two siblings. Like he has a lot. One and
he has a big family.
Yeah.
Do you remember Scooby's real first name?
Scoobert,
yeah.
Scoob. I remember his mom Scoobert. Was in an episode and she like scolds him or something like, Scoobert dee doo. Mm-hmm.
Told Emily the very first thing that I asked, I said to her after we found out that their offer was accepted on their house, because I live, you know, out in the country and I don't really have trick-or-treaters. And I told her, I said, please, can we give out candy for trick-or-treat? While we were talking to Adam and Alyssa the other day, which is Adam is a friend of Amber's that has always stayed close to us since she had passed away.
See the cute guy with the beard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he has always, you know, been Emily's big brother and they've always just interacted that way. And so we were talking to them the other day and they're like, oh, we want to come. We need to do a group costume. And so I was looking up how we could do a group costume and, of course, Mystery Inc., you know.
You got the Thelma?
It came up and Thelma. I'm like, oh, man, I've already got the Thelma. Even though I don't know what Josh did with my glasses.
And they're probably in the box around here somewhere.
Yeah, they'd be around here somewhere.
I'm not sure where are my wigs at either.
That's probably in your car.
No, it was up there, but I moved it because it
goes out my man's house.
When I was in here alone, I'd keep seeing it out the corner of my eye. I'm like, something, gremlin.
Throw it to the window.
That's more like a trivet. Did you ever watch Star Trek?
Yeah.
The old Star Trek?
No.
Oh, yeah. They had an episode called The Trouble with Tribbles. And it was.
I know the Tribbles. Mm-hmm. Tribbles. Tribbles. Whatever. The only Star Trek I was really into was Voyager. Oh, I love Captain Janeway and Seven of Nine. Oh,
I don't know that I've ever watched that one.
It was like the 90s Star Trek. So, it was popular for my age group, but the older ones, you know, they're like, it's not Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
I liked him too.
Speaking of sex dolls.
Yeah.
When... Somehow this came up on Patreon the other day, and I thought, oh, I need to talk about this in an episode. So
I didn't
thankfully
know
this came up randomly.
Thinking about
and I needed to talk about it. Well, I don't. It didn't come up, so I just felt like I needed to throw this in.
He squeezed it in there.
Squeezed it on in.
Spit on that thing.
Yeah. So a long time ago, I used to work at the movie theater, you know, where I saw...
Jared
from Subway. Mm-hmm. And... I just started working there, and as you do, I was making friends with other workers, and they decided, hey, we were close friends with our bosses. I mean, everyone was just close to each other. It was a fun place to work. And they were like, hey, we should prank our boss, our general manager. And we're like, I was like, okay, cool. I love a good prank. A harmless prank. I like it. As long as I'm not getting pranked, I'm all about it.
Yeah, I'm not so
I've done it
about
to Kim
the prank
too.
He done to me the other day.
What I do?
The job application you put in for me?
Oh, yeah. I applied for Kim for a job for a sewer salesman. It was fun. I hope they call you. Anyway, so we were going to prank him by going to a sex store and getting a blow-up doll and sneaking into his apartment and putting it on his bed. So we snuck and someone got the key to his apartment. And while he was at work one day, one of us went to the sex store, picked up a doll. This specific doll was called Flabby Patty.
Oh, God.
I take it, was you the one that volunteered to go get it?
I am not divulging who picked up said doll. So his apartment was a studio apartment. So as soon as you walked, it was very nice. As soon as you walked into the apartment, it was all basically one room.
And having flashbacks of the other prank that we did on a friend his studio apartment.
Well, you could clearly see his bed when you walked in.
Okay.
So this blow up doll was rather large, and this doll was left in a very particular motion on his bed, and it had a very particular face on it, and it looked like...
Yeah. She's surprised.
Yeah. So, you know, it was going to be a funny thing when he got home from work that day. So, you know, we
I'm
all get back to work.
Assuming he was single, right?
Yeah. So we all go back to work, and we're also loving it, and we just can't wait for him to get home and find that nice surprise we left him. Well, unknown to all of us that day, his parents were in town.
Oh my God! Oh.
And his sister and his sister's new fiance.
Oh my God!
Were all in town that day, and they were going to go over to his apartment.
Wait for him to get home from work.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And so they go into his apartment, and guess what they find on his bed?
Flabby Patty.
They find Flabby Patty. Well, he comes into work the next day, and he was like in a really weird mood. And so one of us was like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, someone did this. I don't know.
I don't know who,
and I don't know why, because I'm a really nice person. I don't know if someone would do this. And none of us confessed to Joanne yet.
You let man think someone broke into his house.
We did. We were like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I hope that?
I hope he listens and he finds out.
And I will go back and I'll delete it. I didn't have sexual relations with that woman.
That doll.
Yeah. But no, we were all like, oh, my God, that's absolutely horrible. Who would do that to you? And then I remember, like, the first person who heard it had to then, like, go around to everyone. Hey, that thing yesterday didn't happen. Okay. But it was like one of those things where like you didn't have to ask questions. Mm-hmm. That thing yesterday didn't happen. Okay.
What then?
Yeah, okay.
That kind of happened to the same, kind of the same thing happened when we pulled the prank on our other friend.
Oh, yeah.
We went and put a bunch of Ron Jeremy stickers.
Oh, yeah.
All over the place. And there was monkeys, blow up monkeys. Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't
all, over his apartment.
My big BVDs, that's where they originally came from, was the prank for him. And his sister came in.
Yeah. His very religious sister.
Very religious sister.
Well, the whole thing started because he asked me if I would go to his apartment. He was going to be out of town for something. And he had an internet person coming over to install the internet in his apartment. Yeah, sure, I'll do that for you. Well, I wasn't just going to do it for free.
I had to fill the time waiting.
Yeah. So I went and got all these Ron Jeremy stickers. And it's like all of Ron Jeremy, like in an exotic pose.
I put one on my fishing pole.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I just went around, like, put it on all of his stuff. But then I didn't realize that his sister was going to be coming over. And she was, you know, very interested in who Ron Jeremy was.
She had no idea.
No. She's like, I remember the very first thing that you would see him on as you walked in the door was the light switch and then the doorknob.
It didn't show like his private parts.
Just put, everything else worked.
Yeah, you put the sticker on to where it made it look like the light switch was his private part.
Like it was like they took a picture of him orgasming and then cut from right above the penis off. Mm-hmm.
It was quite lovely. It was quite funny.
It was a lot of fun.
We had a pool stick so and fun. I put that pool stick down and I was,
yeah. I giggle every time I throw my fishing pole out because it looks like it's Ron Jeremy's penis on the end of it.
Yeah, that was a fun time.
It was a fun time. Until
sister found out.
We had a good time. Kind of awkward, but. Of course, Shane's like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Can you come up tomorrow?
Well, you had
yeah, sure, wait.
You had the magnets too, like so gay I can't even drive straight, which I have. I keep in my car for when people park horribly.
Right. But then remember I put your big BVDs on his bed on with bed. All those blow up monkeys. And that internet guy who they told me that he didn't need to come into the apartment because there's a closet outside of this guy's door. And that's where they were going to be installing the internet. So I didn't think he's going to have to come inside. So we have all those stickers up and those big BVDs and the blow up monkeys on the bed. Kim and I are in there. Just, you know, waiting.
Giggling to high heaven.
This guy comes inside, looks up on the bed, looks at us thinking, there's some raunchy stuff going on in here. Yeah.
I could never have a job where I go into someone else's house like that.
All you listeners out there wouldn't think that Shane would be a big giggler, but oh my God, we sat and giggled and giggled and giggled.
Almost peed our pants.
And when we travel, when we get tired and slap happy and try to go to sleep, then we'll start giggling and we can't stop. It's just like two teenage girls in a slumber party sleeping.
Especially if we have to share a bed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
They just lift up the covers and giggle at each other.
No, it's more like he's on one edge of a king-size bed, and I'm on the other side of the king-size bed, right on the edge, going, don't touch me, don't touch me.
And I'm like, you better stay over there.
Keep your smell over there.
Uh-huh.
God bless him.
Don't you kick me in the middle of the night, I'll throw you off this bed.
I can't recall ever really pranking anybody. Not any recent.
Oh, I have. I do a little bit to Kim all the time. Was that me and you who pranked Emily that one day? She came home and she thought we were going to be there and we hid in your back room with all the lights off in the house.
I don't remember.
Well, you have Alzheimer's.
That was my favorite thing to do as a kid was to hide when people would
come home. She Dad got home and she was really scared. She's like, guys, this isn't funny. We're back.
Just don't remember where we were hiding.
It was back in your bedroom.
Oh, in my room. That could definitely be. Sounds like something
she
you
wasn't,
could do.
She
I'm
wasn't
guessing
off
it
very
wasn't
long.
A broom closet. Just taking a wild stab. Right.
I mean, I don't have a broom closet in my house, so.
You don't have a broom.
I do, too.
Done.
I'll tell you. Yeah, we've done some pretty good pranks for people. Shane used to like to get on Craigslist and send people messages. He sent a message from me, supposedly.
Hi, my name's Kim Morrow. Mm-hmm. I would love to buy your fainting miniature goats.
Fainting goats.
I'd do that to people I hated.
Silo.
Did I do it to you or was it my friend Kevin? There were some people who I would reach out to on Craigslist because, like, you can, I didn't know this, you could, like, do sexual hookups.
That's and where it originally started, yeah.
And I would ask people to send me dirty pictures.
No,
and I give them my phone number.
It was my friend Kevin. I think you knew that that was a little over the edge.
My friend Kevin would suddenly get some dick pics.
You like what you see?
Then he would text me. He goes,
what'd you do?
That's exactly what he'd do. He'd go, what did you do? And I'd be like, what are you talking about? My phone is blowing up right now.
Well, shoot, the last time we were here, I handed you my computer to fix something on it, and you messaged, so you sent somebody a text message, and I didn't find it until later that night when I got home, and I'm like, I don't remember who it was to or what it was about, but I know it wasn't very nice.
That doesn't sound like me, Kim.
Oh, yeah, don't sound like you at all.
That doesn't sound like me.
Would I do such a thing?
No.
I'll tell you. Josh, what's your mystery about today?
Just jumping in on it.
I know.
Hey, we're 18 minutes in. I think we have plenty of time now.
She acts like your mysteries are as long as mine.
Yeah, yours took forever.
I'm the long-winded one, Kim.
That's for sure.
Where are we going?
Rhode Island.
Ooh. Ooh. I've never been there before.
Me either. Uh-huh. I'd like to go to New England.
I would love to go up in the New England states.
When it's warm. Well, it's a surprise to me to discover that the U.S. is steeped in a lot of vampire legends. Mm. When we think of vampires, our minds might drift to places like Germany or Romania, and even Japan has its own diverse versions of them. But the U.S. has its own unique collection of these supernatural tales. I have covered the Casket Girls a few weeks ago, but while I was learning about them, I discovered another story from Rhode Island that was definitely not for those with weak stomachs. It was called the New England Vampire Panic, and it occurred in Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Massachusetts for around 100 years. From 1793 to around 1892. And during it, people truly believed that vampire-like creatures had taken over and were feeding on the life force of those they were related to. Have either one of you ever heard of this?
No.
It resulted in superstitious rituals, mass hysteria, and even part of the inspiration for Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Mm.
How fun. I don't know, when I think of Dracula, I think a lot like that it was made a lot longer than the late 1800s. Like, I don't know, in my head, I'm like, oh, it's Dracula. That's like probably from the 1300s.
Nope. Right.
Growing older has been less mysterious ever since I started using Hormone Harmony to help with the symptoms of menopause. Between the sleepless nights, random hot flashes, mild mood swings, it was making it really difficult to focus, rest, and enjoy myself. Hormone Harmony has helped make traveling around with two young men in a mystery machine a lot more bearable. Hormone Harmony is not just for those of us suffering from menopause. Women who have symptoms of hormonal imbalances can benefit from Hormone Harmony. It has helped guide me through the mystery of menopause into a more harmonious journey through a natural process in each woman's life. The company behind Hormone Harmony, Happy Mammoth, advocates for women and helps them regain control of their hormones. With over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, more women are feeling more like themselves now more than ever. Thank you, Hormone Harmony, for unmasking the monster behind my menopause. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MYSTERY for 15% off today.
What would happen if someone in a family would become ill? then their bodies would begin to waste away until they eventually died. At the time, the disease was called consumption, but today we know it as tuberculosis. Typical symptoms of active tuberculosis are chronic cough with blood containing mucus, fever, night sweats, and weight loss, and it would almost kill everyone who contracted it at that time. It spread similar to how COVID was, through particles in the air when an infective person coughs, sneezes, spits, or speaks. A lot of S words. We all know how badly people misunderstood COVID, with literal scientists telling them about it, and it came as really no surprise to learn how the unwashed, uneducated masses of the 1800s reacted. This was around 200 years after the Salem witch trials, and people really hadn't gotten very much brighter in that time. When a person who first contracted TB would die, they would be buried as usual. But then, as other members of their families would start to fall ill and in turn die, sometimes the disease would even wipe out entire families. Since they didn't know about germs or how diseases were spread, they began concocting fear-based legends based on what they had heard about vampires throughout Europe. The blood-sucking evil spirits that take possession of a dead body were now believed to have crossed the pond and were now in America. The belief was that one of the people who fell sick had actually been taken over by the evil vampire spirit, resulting in their deterioration of their bodies until they were buried. But even while they were buried, it was believed that they could still feed off of their families. Eventually, after families kept dying off, mixed with the legends about vampires, the rituals I mentioned earlier came about. People would exhume the bodies of those who had died and inspect them. If they had rotted, they were believed to have been safe. But if the body, for any reason, like the cold New England weather, had not begun to decay, they would remove the organs, and especially the heart, burn it, and the remaining family members would consume the ashes to cut their connection with the vampire and hopefully keep on living.
Ew.
Yeah. Really makes that vaccine seem like...
I was wanting lunch. I'm not sure about that now.
We should have went to lunch before mine. Of course, that didn't work at all. And if the family member had contracted TB, they would usually eventually die. So more was to be done to stop these damn vampires. Along with removing and burning the organs of the dead, they began to decapitate the corpses of those suspected of being vampires, sometimes even cutting off their legs and burying them elsewhere so the dead could not rise from the grave. The first documented exhumed body due to vampirism happened in 1793 to Rachel Burton. She was married to Captain Isaac Burton, but had died of TB in 1790. While her husband quickly remarried, and his new wife, Hulda, eventually caught tuberculosis and fell ill. Due to the craze, Isaac believed that his dead wife was angry at him for remarrying and was feeding on the life of his new bride. Talk about conceited. I'm such a catch, even my dead wife is pissed I remarried. Like, the ego. I bet he smelled like shit. Eventually, in 1793, her body was dug up and desecrated, but to no avail. Hulda died that same year. Then in 1817, a 20-year-old man named Frederick Ransom from South Woodstock, Vermont, died of tuberculosis. His father was worried that he might harm his family from beyond the grave, so he had his body dug up and his heart burned on a blacksmith's forge. Frederick, who was a student at Dartmouth College and came from a wealthy family, was an unlikely victim of the vampire panic, which most likely affected the less educated communities. One of the most famous cases is about a girl named Mercy Lena Brown, who was 20 when she died in 1892. Mercy's mom got sick, and then it spread to the whole family. According to neighbors, they thought one of the family members was a vampire with the illness. And 2 months after Mercy's death, her father, who did not believe that a vampire was to blame, reluctantly permitted others to exhume the bodies of his family. When they dug up her mother and sister, their bodies had decomposed to nothing but bones. But when they got to Mercy, her body showed barely any decomposition. Her nails and hair even appeared to grow, and they even recorded that her body had turned in the grave. I want to say that there is that myth that hair and nails do grow after death, but that is not true. They may appear longer, but it is actually due to the plumpness of the flesh around them drying up as fluid evacuates the body. So, of course, you know, your finger shrivels up, your nail's going to look a lot longer.
Right.
When they removed Mercy's heart, they burned it, mixed it in some water, and then they gave it to her brother, who was sickly and dying of tuberculosis. And they believed he was being fed on by the vampire spirit in Mercy. Of course, it did not work, and he died shortly after. I'm sure the rotten heart juice...
Yeah, that had nothing to do with it.
Didn't help at all. There are over 80 exhumations documented from the New England Vampire Panic as far west as Minnesota. Just imagine for a second a heart that's been decaying for months inside your sibling's dead body. Then it's burned and mixed with water that you have to drink. Rotting, burned, flavored gut water. Take me now, Lord. Take me now. You want me to do what?
Tell him to put some vanilla in it. That might help.
I wouldn't even let him dig up Shane's body. I'm like, no, you ain't doing that.
I'd rather have Gatorade.
Right. I couldn't imagine. Could you imagine? Here, Shane, this is Josh's burned heart ash and some water. Drink it up.
Bon appetit.
While the New Englanders probably didn't refer to the dead as vampires, that was more in Europe, they did believe that their loved ones had been taken over by an evil spirit from the devil. Another difference was that they didn't have to feed on just blood, but instead on the life force of their victims. We would now call that an energy vampire, and we all probably know a few of those types of people.
Kim.
You know, some people can make you feel joyous and energized after you see them. Well, energy vampires are those people who make you feel drained and exhausted after interacting with them.
Don't look at me. He's looking at me. I don't like it when he looks at me. Make him stop looking at me. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me. You're right. No. No, I mean, we've all been around those people where you're like, you dread seeing them. And then afterwards, you got to go home and take a nap because you're like, they sucked out every little bit of energy I had.
Oh, yeah.
Energy vampires. I can
think of a couple right off the top of my head.
Well, speaking of energy vampires, that brings me to my new segment.
I just need to throw it out over here.
There's a show called Out of the Shadows that's like a almost like a reality show about vampires, and it's a comedy, and it is hilarious. And it's all these ancient vampires that came over to, I think it's New Jersey from Europe, but one of them is an energy vampire, and he's just this bald, boring office type worker, and that's all he does is like he gets people at the DMV and tells them a real long story, and they're just sitting there falling asleep, and he's like Well, as I said, speaking of energy vampires, that brings me to my new segment. It's called Touch Grass, and it'll be over unhinged, entitled, and crappy people who need to get out into the sunshine and touch some damn grass or smoke it. This one I found on Reddit from user Rainbow Sprinkles, titled, "You want a cake for how much?" She wrote, "I was very excited to receive an inquiry about making a wedding cake on my home bakery Instagram account. This woman gave me her phone number to discuss, so I gave her a call. She immediately informed me that she didn't want her time to be wasted. She mentioned that if I was serious about doing this, I should let her know right away. She said that her wedding was in December and that she wanted all the details arranged and taken care of. She then requested a 3-tiered cake displayed on sparkly acrylic stands. The cake should be adorned with fresh flowers, specifically white roses and baby breath, arranged in a cascading manner down and around the tiers. She preferred the use of a quilted technique all over the cakes as the base, but also mentioned that a combination of fresh and sugar flowers would be acceptable. However, it was important that the sugar flowers were handcrafted and not store-bought. She said she would be able to tell the difference.
Sounds like a bridezilla to me.
I know. She also wanted one cake to be chocolate, the middle carrot, and the top to be strawberry. She also wanted one of those little toy dogs you hide in the back with a tiny bite removed to make it look like the dog bit into the cake. The dog had to be an Australian Shepherd because that's what they had. And if they couldn't find an action figure or toy, then she would have to make one out of fondant. She then asked, how much would you charge for a cake like this? She informs me she's local and has heard good things about me and seen my ads on Instagram and wanted this to be a blowout celebration. Well, the baker told her, I'll have to do some math. But she thinks she could anticipate a minimum of $850 to $900, which she said she was lowballing but needed time to do the math. If anybody's ever bought in a wedding cake, that's quite a common cost for a big wedding cake.
Especially for something so complicated.
The customer then told the baker she wanted it for $50.
What?
The baker's right.
Could you buy a Walmart cake?
I would have cussed her out and hung up the phone.
We done cupcakes for Emily's wedding, and they had a small cake their own, and it was a couple $100, I think.
I wouldn't even buy the cake, like the ingredients to make the damn cake.
Right.
Well, the baker said I braced myself and decided to play dumb and was like, oh, that's a lot of cake for 50 people. And the lady said, no, $50. And the baker, you know, trying to not lose her shit, said, you want me to spend $50 on ingredients? No, for the entire cake. And then she said that that is our entire budget for the cake. Take it or leave it. Which the baker was like,
leave it.
Leaving it. Bye. And the lady, you know, yelled at her, oh, that's just great. Real professional. What are you new at this? And the baker said, no, you're delusional. Which was replied, don't get snippy. I'm going somewhere else. And the baker said, good luck. $50 won't buy you 3 plain cakes at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Click. Ma'am, who was ordering that cake, and anyone else who has ever done this to a baker, touches grass.
Mm-hmm.
You entitled buffoons. $50 for a huge detailed wedding cake. I personally would have cussed her out once I finished laughing in her face. I used to make cakes right after high school, and I always undersold myself. I mean, I was 17. I didn't know what the hell to charge for my work. I once made an entire wedding cake when I was 17, and the wedding was canceled the day of the wedding after I had already made a 2-tiered fall-themed wedding cake. I made zero on all that work I had done, but as luck would have it, the wedding was one day before my 18th birthday, so guess who had a 2-tiered fall-themed wedding cake for their 18th birthday party? Mwah.
Nothing wrong with that.
I chose that mainly because I have made wedding cakes before, and I just thought, $50 damn.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I didn't even pay that for my wedding, and that would have been
long time.
36, 37 years ago. Mine was $100 then. But we also knew who done it, and I got that was 30-some years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I could only see that as if, like, you were a close friend of the person getting married, and $50, it was, you know, you accepted it to make, like, one sheet cake with, like, just frosting. Right. Not even piping, just here's a white cake with a little bit of frosting on it. Happy marriage.
Yeah, we got lucky with Emily's because we knew her. I mean, the kids had all grown up together. And I knew her from high school. She was a couple grades younger than me. So we did know her. So the little cake that they had used to cut was a gift from them for their wedding. So we didn't have to pay for it. So all we had to pay for was the cupcakes. And I think it was a couple $100. So we got really lucky with hers, but still.
Yeah. I stopped making cakes because the last one I did was for my ex's sister. And she wanted, like, for her granddaughter, she wanted this, like, under the sea cake and, you know, wanted to look like mermaids and seashells. And I had told her, you know, I haven't done cakes for a while, so I'll have to go out and, like, I have to buy the pans and the fondant. And I, like, you know, I don't have anything. I'll have to get everything to make it. And I will include that in the price because, you know, you're not my sister. I ain't doing this for free. And I was able to do it for around $90. Like, I just charged her for the stuff that I bought. I didn't charge her for my actual labor and, you know, designing this cake out of freaking fondant, which I hate. And I never got paid for it. Like, I even, like, approached her several times at the party. I was like, hey, you can just give me that whenever, like, as in now. But never got paid for it. And after that, I was like, screw this. I am not doing this again.
I don't blame you.
Well, we want to give a big shout out to our amazing patrons. Hi, hello, and howdy, Bianca R. and Lynn R., our two newest patrons. We also thank all who support the podcast on Patreon. Remember, you can follow us on Instagram or join us on Patreon for bonus episodes of Unmasked. Both of those are under the username It's Mystery Inc. And don't forget Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole, and be sure to visit our website at itsmysteryinc.com, where you can buy any one of our little dicks, Amazonite necklaces, BVDs, we've got shirts, we've got tumblers, and now coffee cups. And soon, probably stickers. We welcome your contributions, too, if you have any suggestions for mysteries, heartwarming stories, unusual criminal behavior, someone who needs to touch grass, or anything that's left you shit and fire, please don't hesitate to share them with us. And I wanted everyone to know that for touch grass, you can't submit people you've seen or know, or even yourself. Just change the name so that none of us gets in trouble. You guys have anything else?
That's it. We'll catch you on
Ready announce. For lunch.
Thank you all for joining us today, and bless your heart.
All right. Bye.